Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was here.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Praise the Lord and gracious the gracious glory of God to you today, and we're glad to be back on another Friday to share with you in the broadcast. This is Dr. J.O. Robinson, and I want to tell you that I am superly excited about what the Lord is doing in planet Earth, especially for 2014. Yes, this is the Word Outreach International, a derivative of the outreach of Days of Harvest Ministries, and I just want to welcome you this morning to another segment and another broadcast, and we're going to be talking about again righteousness and kingdom living. But this morning specifically, we're going to be talking about righteousness and righteous judgment. All right, now we've got our special guest back with us again, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, live and well, and he was such a great blessing and asset to us on the segment to go. We want to just welcome him back again, Apostle R.O. Ragland. How are you this morning, sir?
All is well.
All is well.
Yes, yes.
All is yes, well. Yes, yes. Amen. Well. It's good to hear your voice. Amen. Glad to have you back.
Thank you as well, Dr. Robinson.
Amen. Now, what we want to get to, I don't want to hold back anything from this man of God today. Praise God. I want him to get right into what we're going to talk about this morning in terms of righteous judgment, because I know he has a lot to say about it. In the action of your words, I will try to say some things in between, if you don't mind, just to ask a couple of questions, because I'm very interested in what you have to say about this. But if you just go ahead and expound. Now, let's talk about exactly where you're coming from in terms of righteous judgment. I think you said you were coming from what book today?
We're going to mainly be referring to the letter from Apostle Paul to Philemon.
Okay.
That's going to be the scriptural reference that we'll be referring to when I specifically begin to start sharing about righteous judgment.
Well, brother, let the hammer down and go for it right here.
Okay, well, hallelujah. Praise be to the Almighty God, our Creator. And I'm so thankful and grateful to Dr. Robinson for allowing me to be a part of this podcast. And I'm grateful to all of you who hear this live as well as in the hours to come and as you log in at some other point. For about the last 10 months from, middle part of 2013 until now, I've been Holy Spirit impressed upon me to continue to look into Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness."
Okay.
From a secular perspective, Dr. Robinson, to paint a picture here, to give a clear insight to it before we get to righteous judgment, we have to understand what the word polis, and you can go on the internet and all those places and verify this. This word polis is not a word from the United States of America, but it's a thousand-year word. And what all different words come out of the word polis: politicians, politics, police, all this comes out of the word polis, but the definition of it is it means a city, which means a group of individuals or tribes or whatever come together and they make a unit. There are two components in the understanding and the definition of polis. When a group of people come together to make a city, the two main components, there are different components, different ingredients, but the two main components, Dr. Robinson, is religion and politics. And so that means...
Wait a minute now. Now, I want to say something. I want to stop you right there. Can I stop you right there just for a minute?
That's right.
I know you're in a flow, but man, you know, most people are already, they're already saying that we don't mix religion and politics. But go ahead.
Well, if you're part of a polis, of which the United States of America is, and probably 90% of all of the developed countries in the world, then there is religion and politics a part of your government makeup as a nation. It's there, whether you're willing to acknowledge it or not. It's there.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm loving it. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So the two main ingredients when a group of people come together to establish a city and then it evolves into a nation is religion and politics. They have to agree on that. They don't have to demand that every individual citizen of that region or of that country or nation accept the religion, but the religion establishes the principles by which they will govern themselves morally. So what you're saying is
they use the word of God?
Well, what I'm saying is what their religion may be Islam, their religion may be Buddhism, their religion may be Shintoism, their religion may be Hinduism. Their religion could be whatever it is for that group of people establishing that polis. However, in the United States of America, that religion or the faith that we acknowledge as a people in the United States of America is from the Holy Bible.
Amen.
If you go back into the history of the establishing of the colonies back in the 1600s, of the coming together of this country, which at that time 1600s we were still under Great Britain, United Kingdom, and then we evolved out of that into the Revolutionary War with the colonies and Great Britain. Then they established the we call them the forefathers. They established that the religion that would govern the moral values of this nation that was being birthed, that was coming out of the colonies, that were coming together to be one, these individual cities, these individual colonies, to come to be one nation, which they established the Constitution. The religion that was going to govern the morality of this new nation was from the Holy Bible. So it's impossible, as you interjected a moment ago, it's impossible for you not to acknowledge it. Now, you say, well, how can you validate that? Okay, let's think about the court system in the United States of America. What is the reverence of an individual who's being asked to give testimony in that court system before the judge and the prosecutors and the defense attorneys and all the plaintiffs and the defendants and all of those in there? What is the premise of which you're saying that what I'm getting ready to testify on? They used to have you put your hand on a book, and that book was the Holy Bible. They don't do it anymore. But they say, will you swear or affirm that the testimony you're getting ready to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And they're referring to what moral standard?
The word of God, of course.
Yes.
Amen.
So it's impossible for you to say the church and the state don't mix, because it does. The court system, the judicial system, upholds the Constitution of the states as well as the federal government. So it's impossible. And when they convene in the Senate and the Congress, what do? They pray They have prayer before they begin dealing with the business of the day for the state or for the nation. And they're praying from what moral standard? The Holy Bible. Now, the forefathers established it wasn't going to be like it was in the United Kingdom, in Great Britain, where they came out of the church and they established the Church of England. That everybody have to be members of the church and you have to do a bad, whatever the parts are. Well, they determined when they was establishing the United States of America that no individual citizen of any state of the colonies or of the nation could be forced to acknowledge and to abide by the principles of the Bible. You couldn't be forced to. However, when it came down to you being governed in your communities, in your neighborhood, in the court system, in the nation, that they was going to refer back to the Bible, these would be the standards by which we would be governed. Not for you to be a member of the church, but so that everybody will be on the same page of what the moral climate and the moral standards would be of how we would govern ourselves as individual and corporate citizens.
Can I interject right there?
Sure.
I want to ask a question now. And I see you building the foundation on what you're sharing here. So if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly from the historical standpoint of view about our country, is that our country is the morality of our country then was totally based on the scriptures and nothing else but the scriptures, and out of that came the Constitution. Am I correct?
Well,
from what I'm understanding.
The morality in the Constitution.
That's what I'm saying. The morals of the Constitution came.
The moral consciousness of the Constitution came out of biblical principles.
The moral consciousness.
Right.
Okay. So that's our establishing foundation for this country. The moral principles that we abide by, supposedly, but anyway.
The moral principles that we refer to in this country, the moral principles that we refer to and use as a guideline come from the Bible.
Okay. All right. That's what I want to make sure I have a great understanding of where you come from. Okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Apostle.
And one other point before I go further, I just want to go back and make it clear to the listeners that the founding fathers, those who signed those who represented those 13 colonies, those men who were representing those 13 colonies, determined that no citizen of those colonies and no citizen person who would become a citizen of the colonies, and then of course where we stand now, the nation of the United States of America, no citizen would be demanded, could be forced to accept the God of the Holy Bible.
Okay.
Every citizen had to be aware that these principles that will be governing the moral fiber of this new country will be the Holy Bible. But you didn't have to be a member of this religion.
Okay.
That was one of the big points of establishing this new country.
Okay.
That no individual, whether alien, whether foreigner, visitor, or utterly a citizen, could be forced to be a part of this religion, because that's what was happening in Great Britain. The Church of England was forcing its citizens to be members of the Church of Great Britain. So I just want to reiterate that before I go forward.
Right.
Okay, so we the main emphasis here is what? Righteous judgment. Now, Holy Spirit, and I know I'm not the only one, but I just want to say, Dr. Robinson, there's not a lot of us out here in the United States of America who's willing to state this in our Bible studies, in our church buildings, on the airwaves, on television, in literature. They're not willing to state this in a massive way in the United States of America. So I'm not the only one. We're not the only ones, but it's not a whole lot of us in the United States of America who's willing to verbalize this. Because when you do, persecution is coming. And I ain't talking about from the world. I'm not talking about from non-believers, non-Christians, those who are not part of the body of Christ. I'm talking about those who profess to be, who are part of the denominations, across ethnic groups, across denominations. That's where the persecution is going to come from. Because many of us in the body of Christ denying this insight that we're talking about today. They're in denial. They don't want to accept it. So we're talking about, you know, the blessing, prosperity coming on the United States of America. Yes, it is. But our gauge was from whom? Is from whom? The nation of Israel. And whenever Israel stopped serving the Creator, stopped abiding by his moral precepts and principles, when they stopped acknowledging him and started going after idol gods, idol deities, then there were consequences that followed. Not immediately, but over a period of time. And so when you look at the United States of America, when you look at our moral compass, where it comes from, which is the Holy Bible, we can't get out of it either. Okay, all the good deeds we're doing, and a lot of good deeds coming from individuals, individual organizations, from the body of Christ, that's important. However, there are some things more important to the Almighty, to the Creator, than just good deeds. And what is that? That we worship him in our hearts and that we acknowledge him with our mouths and that our lifestyles exalt him to the testimony of Christ Jesus. Those are the three main ingredients right there. And so
now say those main ingredients again, if you don't mind.
Okay.
You said the first one.
That we worship him in our hearts.
Okay.
Acknowledge him with our mouth.
All right.
And that our lifestyle exemplify his glory to the testimony of Christ Jesus.
So that would basically give us a guideline to lead us into righteous living, am I correct? Is that what you're saying?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
now, I want you to define righteousness again for us.
Okay. Righteousness, as it pertains to what we're talking about today, comes from Matthew 6:33. And when you look at righteousness up in the Greek, the word is equity, E-Q-U-I-T-Y,
right.
Equity. Now, in the definition of equity gives clarity to what righteousness is in this passage. And the definition of equity is that an individual is fairness, impartiality, and justice. We have to walk in this on a daily basis in our households, in our neighborhoods, in our communities and cities where we live, in our states, and ultimately in the nation of the United States of America. Fairness, impartiality, and equity. And for the believer, after we go out of our four walls, where we're renting or buying or we own our properties, our houses, the first thing we should do is we should be showing fairness, impartiality, and justice to those in the body of Christ. Not to non-believers, to the body of Christ. So regardless of what my ethnicity is, what my nationality is, if I profess, I didn't say confess, but if I profess, that means profession means I'm working to be skilled at this life being lived according to the moral values and principles of the Word of God. Profession means I'm striving, I'm working, I'm contending to be a professional, skilled at living this life of Christ. So that's why it is extremely important that we first start out when we leave our households, that we go after showing fairness, impartiality, and justice to the body of Christ. Because if you look at the Gospel of St. John, one of the disciples said, Jesus, how will the world know that we are your disciples? And he said, my Father and I, we come live in you, and I'm going to send you back another comforter. And the sign is that you will love one another as I love you. One another who? The 12 disciples. The world will know that that this doctrine, this teaching, these principles and values that I've been preaching and teaching you all and all who would listen is that you're going to show this compassion, this unconditional love, this unconditional interest for each other so that the world would look in amazement knowing you are all different in your personalities, you know, not character, but in your personalities and the way you approach dealing with life. But they'll know that that as we say in the South, that the bottom line is that it's all to exalt these principles and teachings of the Father that I've ministered to you for these few years. And so as we come into the present awareness where we are now, those who are non-believers, those who are not part of the body of Christ, as we say, those who are non-Christians, they're looking at the body of Christ. They're looking at the ecclesia, the church of Christ Jesus or Yeshua. They're looking at us and say, well, I see all these denominations, Pentecostal, Word of Faith, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Catholicism, on and on and on. But y'all so splintered. But 2 months ago when I was in Texas, Dr. Robinson, the Holy Spirit gave me something. He's seeing it in my heart now to be an expression of insight to where we are in the body of Christ. And I'm going to just take a quick plug here. They say that when a woman is preparing to give birth to a child, all of her joints in that area of her body, in her pelvic area, in her hips, they separate so that that child, as it comes through, begin to come through that canal from that mother, it separates so that those bones, those joints separate so the mother can push the child on through. Well, that's what it is in the spirit right now in the body of Christ in the United States of America. We appear to be separated because of denominations. Denominations mean separation. Well, Apostle Paul tells Timothy, when Jesus is coming back for the church, for the ecclesia, for his body that was what, without a spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. That means we have to be one in terms of the principles and teachings of the gospel of Christ, of what the apostles ministered to us. And some of them we have canonized. That's not all of them, but we just have canonized in what we call the Holy Bible. We have to be on one accord about this. And it's possible, but it has to be done in faith. And so it's happening right now. It don't appear to be that way. And the world is looking to say, y'all separated, y'all divided, all these numbers. Yes, it appears to be that way. But Jesus says in Matthew 16, he says the gates of hell won't prevail. What appears to be a separation is really not. It appears to be a separation, but we're coming together. We're going to come back together. And a part of this is going to be this judgment. The fallout from the judgment of the Revolutionary War.
Okay. The Revolutionary War. Before you go farther, you said that the disciples were filled with the Spirit of God, correct? The Spirit of God inside of them. And Jesus asked the question, how would all men know you, your disciples? And he went on to tell them their love one for another. Something really struck me when you said that. So what you're telling me is that the Lord sent us help to love each other.
Of course.
I don't want to take too much time on that, but so I'm not alone if I'm loving another disciple or believer in Christ Jesus. From what I understand, because you said he said unto the comforter, which is known in some passages of scripture as the helper.
Correct.
And so that's one way. So in other words, I don't have any. I've just caught myself because I'm saying I don't have any excuse not to love another believer because I got help to love him. I mean, that's what you said,
that's
right?
Correct. There's not an excuse for me not to love another brother or sister in the body of Christ because I have the helper, which is, or whom is, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. I have it, or I have access to it.
Okay.
We have access to the helper, to the comforter, this other comforter, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. We have access to, and if we and if we exercise our right as believers, the Holy Spirit will not be on us, but He dwell in us, but He will be on us. He will come on us.
Okay.
And so we either have Him, or we have access to Him. That's His job in the earth, to be our helper.
So we have no issues in any facet, you know, because if we don't have Him, we still have access. Yeah, I just wanted to—I wanted to interject that because I really saw that, and I believe now I'm getting a clear understanding as to what the Lord's standpoint is concerning you and I as believers in the body of Christ. But now, look—I know we got about 34 minutes here, and I'm not going to say another word by the grace of God because you're so excited and the things that you're sharing.
Feel free to interject, because there may be something that I say that you want the listeners to have a little bit more clarity to. So just feel free to just come in at any time so I can, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, give that clarity.
Well, Apostle Ragnar, I don't want to hog that. Because it's sounding so good, I'm trying to hog it for myself, I guess. Here, if they use that old cliche, I'm guzzling all of it for myself. You know, everything is so beautiful, and the things that you're sharing are so inspiring. Information is very, very, very at this particular point needful for us as a country and the people and in the body of Christ to hear.
Hallelujah.
Because of what we're dealing with in this day and time. But now we've got about 33 more minutes, so I'm gonna step back. If you hear me interject, just know that it's a question that I have in my mind, maybe for the listening audience as well as myself, to kind of make sure we had a clarity on what you're saying. But actually what you're saying is very, very edifying. Go ahead.
Well, hallelujah. Glory be to the Father. Amen. Okay. Now, I wanted to lay the foundation, so as I get into what the Holy Spirit impressed on me several months ago about righteous judgment. And so let's get right to the meat of it. For this country, after the Revolutionary War and we defeated the nation of England, Great Britain, and we became not only the colonies now, but a nation of the United States of America, that's when the clock started to tick in terms of us walking in the moral values and principles of the religion of the country, which was from the Holy Bible, the teachings of Christ and the apostles, the disciples of Christ, who became the 12 he called out to be his apostles. So not only the preaching and teaching of Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, Yeshua, but also the teaching of those 12 apostles. Those are important too, as well as the one who came specifically according to the scriptures, the canonized scriptures that we have, Apostle Paul, who stated he was specifically called as a Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, and to the body of Christ to be a preacher and an apostle to us, the Gentiles. Gentiles, what do you mean? Those who were not from a nationality perspective, born as Israelites, or we say Jews. So Apostle Paul was specifically called to minister the gospel of Christ and the teachings of Christ to those who were not birthed as Israelites, as Jews. And so Paul begins to minister to us how important it is for us to understand who we are, who the Father is through Christ, his preachings and teachings, and who we are as believers who accept his Christ preachings and teachings. Now, let's deal with righteous judgment. The clock started ticking after the colonies won their right to be called a nation from under the authority, the governmental authority of Great Britain. Clock ticking. One of the big things was slavery. Now, we have, especially those of us who are black, Negroes, African Americans, however you want to express it. We have issue with slavery. We're saying, well, white man started that. If you go back and look at the history of slavery, it was way back before the white man, as we say the white man, was ever established as the white man. Slavery was permitted by the Creator. He allowed it to be so. Never wanted it to be that way, but he allowed it to be so. So white men, as we say in the United States of America, didn't create the class of slavery. Way back, millenniums before what we say in the United States of America, as the white man did that, way before that, way back over there in Africa, it started, okay? So as we look at, we're talking about righteous judgment. Africans were brought to this country unwillingly, forcefully, as slaves, bound in chains, and they suffered on the, we call the middle passage from those ships from the coast of Africa to the Americas, and in particular, the 13 colonies, the United States of America. Most of them were not believers of the Holy Bible. There was other religions, Buddhism, Islam, which we call Muslims. So when they came to this country, didn't know the English language, most of them, 99% of them, and their religion was not of the Holy Bible. That means they had to learn the language, understand the language, communications language, and then they had to become aware of the Holy Bible. So what these slaves did was, if this nation able to come from under the governmental authority of this great kingdom, which is Great Britain, these 13 little colonies, they must know who they're giving credit to, which is their creator, their God. It must be something to this, because there's no way these few little colonies were supposed to defeat this great empire of Great Britain. And then we look at them again. That's from the political side of it. Let's look at them from the economical side of it. Now, here they came. They almost died, and you know, from starvation when these colonists first came over here, and these pilgrims. You know, and look at them now. They prospering. They making money. They taking care of themselves. They own land. They defeating the natives who were here, the native Indians and the Spanish, who we call Mexicans, but they really Spanish, because that's where they came over and took over a lot of the region too. So that's what I'm going to make that clear. When I say Spanish, that's what I'm talking about. And they defeating all these people. They prospering. They prospering financially. And with money, all of this money, there might be something to this religion, to this God they're talking about. And what does Paul say in the Romans? And how can they call on him who may not heard? How can they believe? How can they call on him who may not believed? How can they believe in him who may not heard? How can they not hear without a preacher? And how can they not be preach yourself to be sent? And who was the big one who came during the time of the Revolutionary War? Jonathan Edwards from England, preaching the gospel. Now, not only was these colonists being inspired by the gospel through Jonathan Edwards, but also some of these slaves. So they're grabbing hold to this religion, to this preaching of the Holy Bible concerning this creator, God, the Almighty, and his agent, his ambassador, Christ Jesus, Yeshua. Okay? So now these slaves who were of other religions who were forced out of Africa accept the God of the colonists of these United States of America, accept this religion, and they start believing and then calling upon him to rescue them from this class as slavery, because these colonists, these slave owners, this nation had put it in their constitution that these ethnic group of people would forever be whom? Slaves. They would never be able to get beyond that class. And if they did, it was always suspect that they could be brought back into this class of slavery, even if they were freed. So now the Father is saying, I never really wanted slavery in the earth. That was never really what I wanted. But because of sin, because of unfairness now, lack of godly righteousness, because of unfairness, because of partiality, because of injustice, I have to allow it because man is in control of the earth right now. That's why I place Adam here in Genesis to be the governor, the government to establish this. So man is in control right now on the earth, so he permitted slavery. However, Apostle Paul said to the body of Christ, to the believers, let me tell y'all something, slave masters. Y'all better treat these people right because the Creator, the Almighty, going to judge you. So we have these slave owners and this country, the government, who's saying our religion is from the Holy Bible, our moral standards, but we have a group of people we never intend to escape this class or gain their freedom from this class of slavery. And the Almighty God said, well, these ain't just no men and women coming from the continent of Africa. Now, these are my children. They are part of my family. They acknowledge the gospel. They acknowledge my son. They acknowledge the Messiah. They acknowledge Emmanuel. They acknowledge Yeshua. You can't keep them in slavery forever. But that was the intent. Then here we have slave owners men of the white ethnic group in this country, the United States of America, raping women, abusing women, abusing them mentally and physically. These are not just Africans now who are in the class of slavery. These are members of the body of Christ. These are children of the royal family of the Creator that you are raping and abusing. And you have no intention of ever allowing them to come out of this class of people as slaves. Okay?
Can I interject there?
Yes, you can.
So what you're telling me is that these guys who were committing such acts during the phase of our history during that time were actually a part of, they acknowledged that they were a part of the body of Christ. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, so now when you say rape and all of those things, you mean literally a physical act, or just the fact that they were raping us as a people in terms of mental abuse? You mean in totality?
In totality, totally. Physical abuse, mental abuse, and physical rape. All of it.
Wow.
Yes.
Many
of these slave owners, Dr. Robinson, profess to be Christians, profess to be a part of the body of Christ.
Now, I got to bring a question out to that. You said they profess to be a part of the body of Christ. Can you give me a distinction between what validated them being a part of the body of Christ as opposed to the actions that they were portraying, but yet their profession said one thing and their actions said another?
That's why we're dealing with righteous judgment. You can acknowledge the Creator. You can acknowledge the Almighty God with your mouth. That's where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom. See, they're acknowledging the kingdom of the deity of the Almighty. He said, and righteousness. Well, your righteousness will reflect what? Fairness, impartiality, and justice. That's what I see with my eyes. You can tell me all day you believe in the Creator. You know, you believe in His Son, Christ Jesus, Yeshua. You're telling me what you're doing is you're communicating to me what you believe and what moral standards and values are. But I can't see that. Those are just words. Those are just verbal communicated acknowledgement. I see your righteousness because it's put in action. It's in the way you live. So they will profess. That's why I say they profess to be Christians. They profess to be followers of the way, followers, in Christ. They profess to be that, but their actions were totally different.
So I have a class of word for that. Now, the scripture tells me that a person who does that, lives that type of life, is called a hypocrite.
That's what the whole Bible calls.
So what you're telling me is that we've lived in hypocrisy from the foundation of this country as a whole.
When Great Britain said, okay, y'all won, we give, we loose the headlock. We give. You can go and be your nation. We ain't gonna stop all this fighting. You all, we acknowledge you all as being the United States of America. We got the Constitution in hand over here. All right, we release y'all. You are not under our authority anymore. At that point,
I'm glad somebody had some sense.
At that point, God said, I'm not judging you now according to the Church of England. I'm judging you according to the standards you believe, which is the Holy Bible.
Okay. Wow. So I'm glad that somebody had enough intelligence to say, let's stop fighting. On that premise with Great Britain, who made the gesture that we would stop, we became basically a people governed by, as you shared a few minutes ago, by our own standards, and that standard was the Word of God, basically through the moral outlook of the country. It was the principle foundation for which we abided by. So I'm saying again that the profession of that word that we brought into this country by constitutional right would also make us a part of the religious status, and not just the political part, but the religious status, because we use the Word of God. So we have to have both of them together in order for us to function properly, if I'm understanding you correctly, right?
That's not my interpretation, Dr. Robinson. That's what the polis is. The two main ingredients of the polis, in a polis where a group of people come together, make a city, and then enlarge themselves as a nation, the two main ingredients is religion and politics.
Okay.
That has to be.
Apostle Ragnar, let me say something to you, sir. Now, you open up what I would call, and we phrase it in earlier terms, a can of worms, because the bottom line, and that we're going to Texanize it again, use it as a Texas cliche, the bottom line is that I don't see in the body of Christ, especially not just in the country as a whole, but in the body of Christ, this politics and religions deal, it's not showing me the righteousness of us as a people. Can you expound on that? Because we got 17 minutes. Where did the time go? We got 17 minutes left, but can you just tell me a little bit about where we are headed in terms of, and I know you're talking about righteous judgment, so what I'm hearing you saying, you built a foundation today in order for us to have an understanding of why we would be judged righteously. So I'm opening up the gate for you. I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay, I believe I can do it in 15 minutes. I believe that. With the help of
you don't have to rush.
Holy Spirit, I believe
we can finish it on another thing. But I want you to take it because this is a very important. This is a very important issue in our country today that we are facing in terms of us as a country. So we need to talk about this.
Okay. Now, so let me hit this right quick, and I'm gonna push right forward real speedily. The Father is. We must continue to keep our focus, Dr. Robinson, and that I'm talking about the body of Christ. My big focus is not the entire United States of America, which is involved now, don't get me wrong. But the Father is looking at us who profess to be believers, followers of his Son, Yeshua, Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Because as one preacher said that many years ago, we as a people, the body of Christ, we are not the thermometers. We're not the thermostat. We're not the thermostat. We're not the thermometers. We're the thermostat. We don't gauge the temperature. We set it. Jesus said, you fellas, y'all like a city that sit on the hill. You can't be hid. So the body of Christ is what's shining, keeping this moral compass out here for the nation. And when we stop being the light, then everything becomes what? Darkness. And so that means if we ain't being the light, we operating in darkness too. Not because we don't know any better. We just subject ourselves to that. All right. I just wanted to remind us of that. Okay. We're dealing with righteous judgment. So here we go. These Africans who accept the religion of this new country. They are now not of any other religion, whether Islam, Muslims, Hinduism, Buddhism. They are now followers of Christ. And they are being misused and abused, being raped, women. They are raping the children of the living God. So God say, y'all who profess me as being the Almighty God, profess my son to be Lord and Savior, if you don't stop this, there are consequences coming. And his consequence to them was what? The Civil War. Now we have these same persons who profess to be Christians, who profess to be a part of the body of Christ, the North and the South, brothers against brothers, fathers against sons, daughters against mothers, sisters against sisters. Now they are fighting and killing each other. And many of them profess to be Christians, part of the body of Christ. But it came because of the righteous judgment of God, because they were persecuting and abusing and raping not just black men and women, not just slaves, but his children, those who were part of his royal kingdom, his family. And he says, you can't keep prospering like this. I'm not going to keep putting the prosperity of me. I'm not going to allow you to stop continuing to keep coming into financial prosperity, because you are hurting and abusing my children who are what? Africans who accept this new religion, this new kingdom preaching and teaching. I love them just like I love you too, white man. And you can't treat them like this because they are mine too. This brings us to Dr. Robinson, to Paul's letter to Philemon. Let me read this to you. This is something that the Holy Spirit gave me to put it like this. Just this little brief paragraph, and I'm going to get right into Philemon, Dr. Robinson. He says, I believe this is why all insurrections of significance before the Civil War failed, regardless of the interference of slaves or non-slaves. We talk about Nat Turner, who was a slave, John Brown. Regardless of the interference of slaves or non-slaves, because it was not a natural issue, but a spiritual issue. See, it changed from being a natural issue, because they first brought them over here. These slaves, these Africans, had not accepted, many of them, the gospel of Christ. Now it becomes a spiritual issue, because at this point, it wasn't a natural. It's now spiritual. When the Civil War is leading up to that, late 1850s up until 1861, it becomes spiritual now. It ain't just slavery now. It is a spiritual issue, because these white slave owners and whites in general in the United States of America were mistreating and abusing not just Africans, not just slaves, but blacks, Africans who were now a part of the body of Christ.
Now, can I interject there?
Sure.
I want to say this, and I know we're going to probably have to finish this on another segment, but here's the deal. From what I'm understanding, you were saying it became spiritual. Can I say something here? I'm looking at the typology of what you've shared from the beginning of this to now, and I'm seeing, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but this was spiritual from the onset. Am I correct? I mean, never if those two components were together, religion and politics, it was spiritual from the very onset, and we can't deviate from it. Am I correct about that?
No, but I'm talking about as pertains to slaves now.
Yeah, I understand it, but what I'm saying is it was a spiritual matter
from
perspective.
From the beginning. Yes.
Because they can't get away. We can't get away from the fact that the premise that we use as believers and as a part of the polis in which we live, or the political realm, is also connected with the religious realm.
Correct.
So it has to go hand in hand in order for it to operate. So it was spiritual from the beginning. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So why are we acting like
from the very beginning it was spiritual? Correct.
So why are we acting like this?
Yeah, I'm gonna get there in about 10 minutes. I'm
okay.
I'm gonna get there. 8 minutes. I'm going to finish this. According to the principle, to the rules, to the law of the Holy Bible, the fate of the believing slaves, their righteous desire, the slaves' righteous desire, prayer and belief in their request and their petitioning to the Creator, to the Almighty God, caused the Creator to respond to their request. This is what happened with Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. The Almighty, the Creator, spoke to Moses on the mountain and said, I hear the cry of my people. They were calling on the Almighty, deliver us. So this is what was happening with the slaves who accepted this new religion in the United States of America. They're not just Africans now. They are his children. They are part of his royal family because they received the preaching and the teaching concerning Christ and the apostles. Therefore, the Lord's judgment came on the United States of America in the form of the Civil War. They started fighting among themselves. See, it really wasn't because of slavery. It was because they were persecuting slaves who were now believers of the body of Christ. And so we come to Philemon. Apostle Paul is writing this man who was a follower of Christ, who was a part of the body of Christ, who came into the way and the teachings of Christ through Apostle Paul. And he met this slave named who was Onesimus, who had ran away, who had escaped from slavery, and he heard the gospel and sat under the teaching of Apostle Paul and received and confessed his sins, his being out up under worshiping the Almighty God, the Creator, and accepted the preaching and teaching of Apostle Paul and became a follower of the way, a believer, a part of the body of Christ. And he told Paul, Onesimus did, that he was a slave. He ran away. And when he told him who his slave master was, who was Philemon, he said, oh, I know him. Was pure to be a runic, wouldn't you think, Dr. Robinson? But it wasn't a runic. This was the divine plan of God for Onesimus, Philemon, and Paul. But ultimately to give us a testament, to give us a testament, the body of Christ in this present time in which we live, in that time for the Civil War, but now in this present time in which we live, 2014, of how God deals with righteousness and slavery. He permitted it. He never wanted it for Onesimus, but that's what the political law allowed in the polis. So the Almighty said, I'm going to show the church how to deal with this in the earth, in the polis. So he says, Philemon, I'm sending Onesimus back to you because he ran away as a slave. But I'm hoping that you will receive him now, not as a slave, but as a whom? A brother. In where? In Christ Jesus. He's more valuable to you now as a brother than he was to you as a slave. And his ultimate hope for Onesimus was that Philemon would release him from being a slave. So now not only will he be free in Christ, in his heart, in his soul, but he will be free in his physical state as a man. So he Wow. wanted Philemon to receive him now as a brother in Christ Jesus, a part of the body of Christ, but also he was hoping that Philemon would release him, give him his papers. I'm freeing you. You're a free man. You ain't my servant. You ain't my slave no more. You're more important to me now. Why? Because you're my brother in Christ Jesus. And so, the problem, Dr. Robinson, is in the United States of America, too many whites, and I don't care if you're European, Spanish, or French, or Dutch, you still white. You ain't black. You ain't African American. So if you're in African America, you basically consider white, even if you're Jewish, from that perspective, in terms of skin color. I'm talking about skin color, Dr. Robinson. That's what I'm talking about. So, right. So in the United States of America, whites still look at us as though they've done us a favor. through the revolutionary, through the Civil War. You got done a favor. We did you a favor by giving you the Civil Rights Act of 1865. We did you a favor by ratifying what President Lincoln did in saying Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 and ratified it in 1868. We did y'all a favor. No, you didn't do me a favor. The religion of the polis is the Holy Bible. I received that report of the Creator through his Son, Christ Jesus, and the preaching and teaching of apostles. I'm a part of the royal family of Almighty God. You ain't do me no favor. This is my right as a believer of the religion of the polis to walk in this, to have this freedom and these rights, not only as a believer in the church, in the ecclesia, but also as a citizen of the United States of America. Give me my rights, man. You ain't doing me no favor. I don't care if my folk did work for 300 years free from this country. That was a part of the polis. The Father allowed it to be so. But when we received the gospel of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, I had some royal rights of the kingdom. You ain't did me, you haven't done me a favor. This is my rights, politically and religiously. These are my rights because I acknowledge the God, the creator of the polis. Give me my rights and respect me because I'm not ignorant and destitute. I have a great IQ.
Sir, I want to say something right there, Apostle Raglan. Listen, from what you're telling me and all this on the historical background that you've shared up to this point, and I'm pretty, we're gonna have to do this again on next week. We're gonna have to finish this. But the thing that I'm listening to the most and I'm hearing is that we've been treated unrighteously instead of righteous. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying to the country? Is that what you're saying to the nation and the world today?
That's what I'm saying to the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, and that's what I'm saying to the nation of the United States of America.
Yes, I want to say something here that I still see that being alive and well in the society that we live in, especially as the body of Christ today. I still see the same. Some of the same principles being practiced, and I've traveled extensively as well as you have. Are you seeing the same thing as well?
Same thing, Dr. Robson. Same thing. It's done more subtly now because of the political arena in the polis of the United States of America. But it's still there. And where it hurts me the most, Dr. Robson, not in the nation of the United States of America, but in the body of Christ.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, some people say, well, you got to get over that. Well, you know, some people say to you and me, we got to get over that. That's yesterday, and that stuff is not relevant anymore. We're moving on. What do you say about that? We got a minute and 47 seconds left. What do you say about that as we close out today?
I'm not walking in unforgiveness. I'm not walking in anger. I'm just simply stating a fact. And if you want to change the fact, change your mentality, change the kingdom thinking, and then you can walk in the righteousness of the living God.
Yes. And I really appreciate you expounding on that. And we're going to pick up next week on this, and we'll work on finishing it next week. But I tell you what, that was very exciting information that you brought before us concerning this particular subject, and I look forward to making sure that as we move forward in this broadcast, that our listeners and people who are tuned in to us will have a real clear understanding of where we stand as you see it and as the views out of the body of Christ in this last day, that we must change in order for us to be the Proverbs 14:34 people that righteousness exalts a nation. But we know that sin is a reproach to any people. Well,
amen.
Apostle, we got 30 seconds left. What do you want to say as we close out?
Love you, Dr. Robinson, and love all of those in the body of Christ who heard this podcast and who will hear it. Thank you for the opportunity, and we just thank God for his glory for all that was shared. To the glory of Christ and the testimony of Christ Jesus. To the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, look, we're going to have him back next week, but I tell you what, you get your ears set and everything ready, because we're going to talk about it again. We're going to talk about righteous judgment. How about that? God bless you. See you next week, same time, 10 o'clock. Amen.
Yeah, I'm here. You there?